ask you to turn with me this morning to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, and we'll be looking at this morning chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. If you're using your pew Bible, you can find this on page 1032. I think as I begin this morning, I'll begin with verse 13 and read through verse 27 of chapter 7. This is the last section of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And the verses we'll be looking at this morning are the last verses of his sermon as he draws it to a close. So give attention now as we read, beginning in chapter 7 of verse 13. "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. And everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.' Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So in the reading of God's word, let us once again bow in prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for the teaching of our Lord and Savior. And we, as it has been recorded in these verses, we pray, Father, as we look at these words, that you, by your Spirit, would be at work within our hearts and our minds. May you take the word that is preached this morning and apply it directly to our innermost beings. And may it, Lord, bear fruit in our lives. And Father, may you bless my mind and my mouth that I may think and speak clearly your word this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. During my college days, my early college days, I was living with my parents, and we were watching the news one night, late at night, and we had an unseasonably rainy few days, and the news was reporting that earlier in the day, there was a new housing development that was going up in the south part of Johnson County, Kansas, and the houses there were multi-million dollar homes, beautiful, a lot of money was put into them, some of them already sold, and as we watched, we saw that some of them were, in fact, built on some hillsides. And we watched, in this one, you could see the hillside that it was built upon started crumbling in the video. And then pretty soon, the whole house started crumbling and falling apart and just sliding down the hill. That happened to several other houses in that development, multi-million dollar homes, just crumbling underneath soil that wasn't properly prepared. The developers didn't take the necessary precautions. Granted, they probably weren't expecting an unseasonably rainy period, But still, they didn't take those necessary precautions. They didn't do the necessary things, the necessary work of making sure that they dug down deep or making sure that the dirt that was used as filler had settled properly before they built on top of it and built their structures. And they came tumbling and crashing down. That is the analogy that Jesus uses in these verses here. It's a very familiar parable, brief parable and illustration that he gives of two men, one wise, one foolish, one building properly upon the rock, the other one building foolishly upon shifting sand. And what we learn from them is that for us to be wise, Jesus teaches us that we must build upon Jesus himself. For us to be wise, we must build upon Jesus himself. We'll be looking at these verses in three points. First of all, a picture of the wise and the stupid. A picture of the wise and the stupid. Secondly, doing the words of Jesus. And thirdly, security in the rain, floods, and winds. So first of all, a picture of the wise and the stupid. We see this in verse 24 and also verse 26, where Jesus begins with familiar words. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them would be like the wise man. And then he repeats it word for word. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man. Literally, that word there, foolish, could be translated as stupid. It is someone who is stupid. They are ignoring what is plainly before them, that I should build my house upon a sure foundation. I should not build my house upon shifting sand. This was actually very clearly displayed to my family and I this past week as we spent some time in Tucson, Arizona. If you've been to Tucson, if you've driven around there, I'm sure other parts of Tucson have this as well. There are these things called washes. And it's a completely dry riverbed. It looks like it's been dry for some time. There are trees growing in it, but the roads travel over it. There are trails that go alongside them that people could walk along or ride their bikes. But it would be incredibly foolish and, in fact, stupid to build anything in those washes. Because at certain times in the year, Tucson has a monsoon season where it rains heavily. And those washes become filled with water. You wouldn't build there. But that's the picture that Jesus has given us here. And the level of foolishness or stupidness of the fool in his illustration. It's as if they've forgotten that, wait a second, this area is prone to flooding a certain time of year. I shouldn't build my house here. And that is the illustration that he is giving. Is someone who just completely ignores the facts around them and the truth around them and continues to build their house anyway. There's a picture of someone who doesn't build properly and doesn't take the time to build properly. They want a shortcut. It would take time to build upon a rock. Commentators pointed out what's being referred to here is probably the process of digging down to a layer of where there's a sure foundation, a sure bedrock. And then building your structure upon that. The fool or the stupid person doesn't want to do that. They instead just build their house upon the loose soil. Much like the opening illustration. The house is there not being built upon a sure foundation, a sure rock, but on loose soil. And one of the things we learn here through this closing section of Jesus' sermon, especially in these verses, he repeats it and emphasizes it, is that there are two choices to be made here. You either follow him or you don't follow him. There's no gray area. It's either you follow Jesus or you don't. And the lesson that we learn here is that we are either doing the words of Jesus or we are not. That is what we can take from these verses. We are either doing the words of Jesus or we are not. There's no middle ground. But what does it mean to do the words of Jesus? It leads us to our second point. What does it mean to do the words of Jesus? Well, there are two ways that we can really take these verses. First of all, in the immediate context of Jesus' sermon. as he's been preaching here. But there's also a broad context that we can take these words. That not only the teaching that he has contained here in these verses, but also, as we've talked about before, the entire scriptures being the word of Christ, the word of God. And so there's two ways we could take Jesus' teaching here. One, the immediate context of the words, of the sermons that he's preaching here, but also his entire word, his entire truth. So immediately these words would apply as Jesus brings his sermon to a close, as he's preaching to this crowd around him. He's calling on them to respond. And he says, those who hear these words of mine and do them are like the wise men. And so as we consider the sermon that he's been preaching and what he's been driving home is the greater righteousness that is needed, the greater righteousness than the scribes and Pharisees, the immediate application of these words is that we're to seek that for ourselves, to be doing the words of Christ, making sure that our religion and our practice and our Christian faith isn't merely outward and seeking to please people, but is something deeper, something greater at our very heart, our very core, springing from a heart that has been changed by Jesus Christ, living by faith in Jesus Christ. But the broad way that we can take it, living by the Word of God. Jesus in the Gospels summarized all of the Scriptures with two commands. I know we're all very familiar with those commands, but you know, first of all, the command to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second being like it, to love our neighbor as ourselves. On those two commandments hang the law and the prophets, Jesus says. And so as we consider living the Word of God in the broad way that Jesus is maybe teaching here of doing his words, hearing his words and doing them, what are some ways that we could live out the Word of God? Well, if you consider just maybe an everyday example that we might face of helping a neighbor. From time to time, you know, when I go to a certain coffee shop and I am broadening my horizons and going to things other than Starbucks lately, but I still go back to my home from time to time. There's one in particular I go to where there's a lot of young mothers that have strollers and they're trying to open the door and get these massive strollers in. I mean, one way that we could actually love our neighbor as ourselves if we have opportunity in seeing that is just simply opening the door. Now, that's a simple, everyday way that we can show love to our neighbor and so live by the Word of God. It doesn't have to be anything grand and spectacular. It could be something seemingly mundane and everyday as simply holding a door open for someone, doing it to others as we would have them do to us. But when you also consider then to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, if we consider what sin is, when we are tempted and we sin against God, you know, in that moment, we love the sin more than we love our Heavenly Father. But why else would we do it? You know, if we truly loved our Heavenly Father with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength when we were tempted by that sin, we wouldn't go down that road. We would go down the road that Jesus went, where he stopped the temptation, he defeated the temptation. We would follow in his footsteps, for he truly loved his Father with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his strength, with all his soul, every ounce of his being. And so a way every day that we could exercise loving the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength is that as we face temptation, to remember that, do I actually love this sin more than my Heavenly Father? Because as we go down that road and commit that sin, that transgression, by our actions, that is what we are saying. Is that, yes, I love that sin more than my Heavenly Father. How do we live the Word of God? Well, it's just as Jesus said, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. See, it's important what Jesus is calling us to do here at the end of his sermon is to not merely be hearers, but to be doers. And that is the teaching of Scripture elsewhere. We are to not merely hear the Word of God, but to actually put it into practice in our life and live out what God is instructing and teaching us. This brings us to our third point. The security that we can have in the reign the floods and the winds. This illustration that Jesus gives is a very beautiful graphic illustration. It is easy for us to picture a house that is built either upon a sure foundation or one that is just shifting sand. And imagine a storm building up and brewing up, an intense storm where the rain begins to fall and beat against the house. Both homeowners would have been confident at this point, sure that, well, nothing's going to happen to my home. And then we can picture the rain gathering and pretty soon the rivers rising and beating against each house. And the winds coming and howling as the storm intensifies until the house built upon sand crumbles and falls, but the house built upon the rock remains. You know, in the Midwest, when I was growing up, way back in 1993, we had in the summer of 1993 what we still refer to as the Great Flood of 93. And you may have heard about this in Seattle, probably didn't experience anything of the sort. But it stretched from, you know, Kansas City all the way through the Midwest. The Mississippi overflowed its banks, and it stretched, I think at some points it was about like 3 miles wide. It just farmland and everything was just destroyed. And if you drive I-70, when I was growing up, I can remember still vividly seeing beautiful farmland at certain parts right along the Mississippi that now are still to this day, since 1993, just wastelands. There's just wilderness there, just growing. The flood just devastated what was once beautiful farmland. I remember watching the news and seeing waters rising and flowing around homes. And pretty soon the homes would break free of their foundations and they would begin spinning and churning in the water, just breaking apart into pieces. You know, that's the picture here that Jesus is giving us. One thing to keep in mind here as we consider the rains and the floods and the winds is that each house faces them. There's probably damage done to each home. But regardless, that home that was built upon the rock, the sure foundation, withstands the storm. And we can all have different storms in our life. The rains, the floods, the winds. They can be various things that we are facing in our lives. Every one of us has a different storm that we are facing, a different trial that we might be enduring. Sometimes it's more intense than others. Maybe you're at a moment in trial where it just seems like a trickle of rain. Maybe you're in the midst of a trial where the winds are howling around you and beating against your house. If we have built our foundations upon the rock, we can be sure that our house will endure. It will stand. The rock will bear the greater force of the storm and the floods around us. And through that sure foundation, we will stand. Now, as we consider the rock in the illustration of Jesus, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 9, beginning in verse 30, we read, "What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it? That is a righteousness that is by faith. But that Israel who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness did not succeed in reaching that law? Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.'" Consider the passage we read earlier in our service this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter quotes the same verses that Paul quotes. Except Peter writes it this way, "For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.'" There's a stone referred to that is called him, whoever believes in him. What we learn from Romans 9:33 and also considering the passage in 1 Peter is that Jesus is the rock. as he gives the illustration at the close of his sermon. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like the wise man who builds his house upon the rock. And the illustration that he uses here, Jesus himself, his teaching, his word, is that rock. And the work that is done is the house being built upon that rock. And so Jesus here is the rock in our illustration. You see, we also learn that those who believe in him will not be put to shame. You see, as we consider the illustration here, the two groups of people, the wise people and the stupid people, the fools, they both build. They both build structures. They both build houses. And on the outside, they may have both looked equally good and pleasing. But what enables the one house to endure is the fact that it was built upon the rock. And so as we consider our lives and what we do for Jesus Christ and how we live our lives according to his word, it's not enough that we simply do good things, that we do good works. As the people in this illustration both built good homes, what's important is our foundation. That our foundation is Jesus Christ, belief in him, faith in him alone, by God's grace alone. That is the sure foundation. It is what Jesus calls, as Peter confesses, Jesus Christ as Lord. Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church. I believe the appropriate way to take that interpretation of Scripture is the confession that Peter made there. It is the rock, the sure foundation in which we are to build upon. That is the foundation that the church is built upon. Jesus Christ, the rock. You see, both groups built. But when the storms come in life, those who didn't build upon Jesus will fall away. For there's another way to take the rain and the floods and the winds, not just merely as the trials and the tribulations that we might face in the day-to-day lives we have, but we can also appropriately take them as that day to come when Christ returns, the day of judgment. It's a day that deep in our hearts, every single individual on this planet knows is coming. There is a reckoning coming. There is a day of judgment where our Lord and Savior will come and judge the earth. That storm is coming. So as we live this life and build our houses, the epitome of wisdom here is to build upon Jesus Christ and his teaching, not upon any other foundation that we might find throughout the earth. You see, our good works are not enough. We must build upon Jesus himself. He is the rock that we are to build upon. One of the things that I am struck with is that, you know, as I think I've shared this with some of you before, but when I first began to discern the call to be a minister in the gospel, of the gospel, my mentor is Wade Mann, who came and preached here last fall. And he really walked me through the steps of discerning that call and coming under care of presbytery. And as that call was confirmed at each step along the way, there was at one point I was talking with Wade and became more certain and sure that, yes, this is what the Lord has called me to do in his wisdom. I looked at Wade and I said to him, I'm sorry, but any estimation and high view I had of the pastor has completely been thrown out the window. If the Lord can use one like me, a man like me, I mean, he can use anyone he desires. See, we all have times in our life where maybe we don't read as much of God's word as we should. We don't spend as much time in prayer as we should. And as I've experienced those times in my life, one of the effects that I have noticed is that I begin to worry and be concerned a lot more with the rain and the winds and the floods around me. But the times that I am in the Word, that I am praying, that I am seeking the Lord's face, is the times when the winds and the floods and the rain, they're still there. But I feel that much more certain and secure in the midst of them. And it's because in those times when we don't spend as much time in the Word, when we don't spend as much time as we should in prayer, our eyes begin to drift from our Savior, whom our eyes should be upon, and begin to look down. Much like Peter, as he stepped out of the boat, his eyes were fixed upon Christ and he could walk in the raging waves around him. And as soon as he took his eyes off the Savior and looked around at the raging waves, he began to sink and he cried out, "Lord, help me." That is a security that Jesus pictures here. The house still gets hit with rain, with floods, with wind. But it's the sure foundation that is built upon Jesus Christ that enables it to endure, to press on, and to withstand the floods around them. It is the house which is looks good. It may have been built quickly, and the actual structure itself may appear to be as sure as the one built upon the rock. But it's that house that doesn't have Jesus Christ as its foundation. When the winds and the rains and the floods come, it crumbles and it falls, and its fall is great and mighty. And so what Jesus teaches us here in these words is to build upon Him. Hear His teaching. Listen to what He has just taught us, not only in the immediate verses before this, but in His Word. Oftentimes, we find reading through Exodus, some parts of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy is sometimes a little bit boring. We like to skip through certain parts as like, well, how does this apply to me? I don't even own a bull. But what we learn from those is how to take the law of God and apply it to our given situations. That is the importance of reading through the law. Because what it shows us is as the Lord led Moses to apply His moral law, the Ten Commandments, to the situation in the nation of Israel, what He teaches us there is how we can take these Ten Commandments and so now use it and apply it to our given life and situation. To live the Word of God. That is why we are to not only listen to what Jesus is teaching us in the immediate verses here, but in His whole Word, from Genesis to Revelation. This is hard work. It is not light work. That housing development in Kansas City many years ago, the developers there did not do the hard work and the due diligence of making sure the very soil that they were building upon was sure. And they paid the price for that. A great financial cost. So too, brothers and sisters, to build a sure foundation on Jesus Christ, it is not lighthearted work. It is hard. It is difficult. It is spiritually strenuous. But the words of taking the due diligence of building upon Jesus Christ and His Word, searching the Scriptures, applying it to our lives, living it out in our day-to-day life, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, loving our neighbor as ourselves, is worth it. Because it keeps our eyes upon our Lord and Savior, what He has done. Because ultimately, it's not what structures are built. It's what they are built upon. Only by belief in Jesus Christ can we build sure structures that will withstand the storms of life. Only by faith in Jesus Christ will we endure the great day to come when Jesus comes in and judges the earth. Only by building our houses upon Christ will we be wise in this world and not be stupid and foolish, ignoring the coming day and storms that are to come. So, brothers and sisters, let us build upon Jesus Christ and His teaching and His Word and live out what He has taught us. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, as we seek to build our houses. We pray, Lord, that each and every individual here will be building upon the sure rock of Jesus Christ. Lord, you have taught us in your Sermon on the Mount to seek a greater righteousness than the scribes and Pharisees, a greater righteousness than one that is merely outward. And we know, Lord, from your teaching that this is impossible. It is only by you, Lord, by your work, by your grace, the only righteousness that is greater than the scribes and Pharisees is your righteousness. And the only way that we can have this greater righteousness is by faith in Jesus Christ, by God's grace alone. And so, Lord, as we seek to build our houses, may we above all have the foundation of Christ, faith in you and what you have done for us. You did not remain in the grave, but you are Lord. And we pray, Lord, that we will see the real sureness of and experience the security of building our house upon you and keeping our eyes focused upon you. And as the rains come, as the rivers rise, as the winds howl, we pray that our eyes will be on Christ and that we will endure whatever storms may come. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.